everyone, to episode 74 of Bike Club. This is Eileen.
This is Lynn.
This is Shannon.
This is Stephanie.
And this is Josh.
All right. We are all together again, but this time, not in the same room.
It's all virtual.
Virtual podcast.
This is actually what we're used to.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep, I'm staring at the dock with all our stories, and I'm just kind of talking into the... to the microphone, and you know, we hear random beeps, honking horns from
Oh my god, that is me. I live on I'm sorry, guys.
Stephanie lives in the city. It's okay.
Oh, I just hear that all night long, so
no worries. I'm just making fun of you guys. All right, well, this is Bike Club Show, where each week we sink our teeth into your favorite fantastic shows. A little bit of housekeeping, our email, bikeclubshow@gmail.com. You can find us on our website, bikeclubshow.com. You can also find us on Twitter at Bike Club Show. And thanks to Stephanie, we have a Facebook page, facebook.com/bikeclubshow.
Yay!
All the kids are doing it, so
I know. You
know. Also on Facebook.
Yeah, I hear that Facebook thing is like the hot place to be, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a new thing. Yeah.
Yeah, totally blown up. So, you know, maybe like since it's so new, we figured we might as well just jump
in. Yeah, we should get in early. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Totally. Well, we're going to be posting our show links, various things. We all have access to it. So I don't know, whenever you guys feel like posting a picture or a thought or a
taking a break, whatever.
Yeah. There's actually discussion boards. I started a question and we're in a virtual tie with our question because everybody, one person voted for Twilight, one person voted for Vampire Diaries, one person voted for True Blood.
Oh my God.
I know.
It's like, neck to neck.
It's neck to neck. Somebody break the tie.
It's funny that none of us actually put in our 2 cents. It's just so hard.
I don't think we should.
Well, yeah, that should be an audience vote. Yeah.
I know, but if you had to choose, I still wouldn't be able to do it.
Really? You wouldn't be able to?
Oh, True Blood all the way.
Yeah, I know what my favorite is, but really? I won't post it.
Oh, you don't want to say it either.
I'm very attached to these movies, but I don't know. I also really like True Blood. I couldn't live without either one. But anyway, let the discussion live on our Facebook page.
Exactly. Okay, well, it's time for our wine selection of the week. I am drinking matcha tea. I'm recovering.
Boring.
I'm recovering from a big bad cold, so I am not going to be drinking for a little bit.
Whatever, you're recovering from big bad holiday parties.
That's true. That's you.
So
I don't have any wine, and I don't think anyone really does, except for Shannon.
Me. Unfortunately, I haven't been to any holiday parties myself because we don't have those here in Missouri, apparently.
What?
I'm just kidding. So I'm just drinking some Robert Mondavi Pinot Noir. It's a California 2009 all by myself. Have you guys ever been there? I hear it's a big thing out there, Mondavi.
Yes. Well, I've been. Lynn,
you've driven by, but...
It's one of those when you first move or, well, when you visit here, people go there. So, yeah, maybe we'll do a group trip when you get out here.
Okay.
Well, I picked it up from Walmart. It was like, I think it was less than $20, maybe around $15 here. And it's really tasty. I really like this Pinot Noir. On the back, it says it has a lot of taste of wild cherries, berries, and aromatic spices. Warm oak nuances linger on the finish. Can definitely taste the oak at the end and the berries.
Right. Yeah. I'd give it about 3.5.
Three and a half fangs. That's not so bad. That's not so bad. Maybe when you go to Robert Mondavi, when you move out here, maybe there'd be a different type of wine that you'll like.
Maybe. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Riesling, so I could try one of those instead.
Oh, okay.
If they have those there.
I bet they do. Okay, well, thank you, Shannon, for saving us with the wine selection of the week. I'll come back with something next time. So, okay, it's time for the news. And I was not expecting that.
There you go. The sound
effects. Like that.
We tried to do that.
Well, we're back to our old setup, so I can do all the sound effects.
Yeah, that's true. Well, There are some of us here in the group that are reading the Vampire Academy series, and book six, the very last book for the saga with Rose, the title character, is out. And it came out, I believe, on the 6th or the 7th. And we have a link to the Amazon. You could purchase it on Amazon. You could purchase it on iBookstore. It's everywhere.
Did they actually say it is the very last novel, though?
It is the very last for Vampire Academy. Now, Rachel Mead is going to continue with a companion series called Bloodlines. And on our Facebook page, I took a I posted a picture of this exclusive interview with Rachel Mead that is not available online yet. So she has revealed that the companion series to the Vampire Academy is called Bloodlines, and I think it's going to be due out next August. So the question is, will Bloodlines be related to Vampire Academy? She says, we're still in the same universe, the same rules, all of that, but characters who were in a peripheral role are now our leads. The narrator is Sydney, a human. I have not met Sydney yet. I'm only on, like, chapter 3 of book 3.
I don't know yet either. I only know what's her name, Rose and Lissa.
Yes.
Oh yeah,
I met Sydney. She's pretty cool.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
she's an alchemist. Jill, a Moroi vampire, also has a key role. The male lead is going to be the big surprise. I'll only say that it's one of the love interests from Vampire Academy, so that'll be interesting. Okay, where will the story be set? Rochelle says, in the human world, in a human high school, before we were enclosed in a vampire universe. But now our protagonists are playing by human rules and trying to blend in. It puts a whole new perspective on it, and the high school is in California. So she goes back to high school in advance. Bright and sunny, where it's problematic for vampires. But they could take a trip to the Pacific Northwest if they wanted. And she says, that's where I am right now, and it's definitely not bright and sunny. I get now why Twilight is set here. It'd be pretty easy for vampires. And then one last question. As an alchemist, does Sydney get good grades in chemistry? And Rochelle says she's actually in AP chemistry, and she's really bored.
Nice.
Okay, so Lynn, you met Sydney in what book? Or should we expect to meet Sydney?
Oh, gosh. I don't remember which book exactly. I think it's book 4. Because she goes, she's in book 4.
Okay.
She gets introduced there. And then she'll visit in book 5 as well. And I'm not surprised if she's in book 6. Okay. And that's where I'm at, waiting to read the last one.
Oh, you finished book 5.
Yeah, I did. Now that I have a lot of free time, I'm reading a lot. So one of the books I finished. And now I'm actually going back to read Dead in the Family, which is the Charlene Harris book 10.
Yeah.
And that's a little slow for me. So I'm taking my time with that one. But it was a fast read for book 5.
Okay. Cool.
And I cannot remember the name right now. Oh, my gosh.
Book 5?
Spirit Bound, I think. Oh, no, or is that?
That's the one I just read. I think that's 2. It's either Blood Promise or Shadow Kiss. No, I'm on Shadow.
No, Shadow Kiss was earlier. I can't remember right now. But okay.
And Stephanie, where are you at right now?
I'm right smack in the middle of book 1 still, and I'm reading it about a couple times a week, and I'm looking forward to getting more excited about it. This news about a big screen movie or all the books coming out are just getting me pumped.
Yeah. So when Lynn and Josh and I, we went to Comic-Con, Lynn and I went into a vampire book panel. Charlene Harris was there, and so was Rochelle Mead, and she at that time said that the movie was optioned. Now, nothing was happening at this point, and she even said, don't expect a Vampire Academy film next year for next year's Comic-Con, which is 2011. But it is going to be adapted eventually. There's an article here on Hollywood Crush, and we'll have a link to it. It says, Rochelle is talking, and she says, it's such a funny thing, the movie business. There's no action going on right now. There's no production, no casting, no scripting. There's nothing for me to be involved in at the moment. They're certainly in touch all the time. Right now, they're out soliciting studios and writers. So, I guess, you know, it's a longer process than what we realize once it gets optioned for a movie. And she is super excited for big screen battles. And she even says she's actually talked to Charlene Harris a couple times.
I like that. They're in communication, you know?
Yeah, well, they were on that same panel. So, you know, right. They've got that, you know, like, hey, you're... books were turned into awesome TV shows and, you know,
Nice.
You know, that kind of thing. And she's got several books that are going to be turned into movies. So, you know,
that's interesting to see that relationship too, because Charlene Harris never really talks that greatly about Stephanie Meyer's work.
I was just going to say that. Yep.
Yeah. Like, so we're thinking the same thing. Yeah. And so it's interesting to see what relationships that Charlene has, you know, in supporting Rochelle with her endeavors.
Well, yeah. Rochelle's vampires are more traditional, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they're kind of different, but they're also the evil vampires are, you know, they're evil. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, I guess.
And also Rochelle has these, the half vampires,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, the Moroi.
And I'm still trying to wrap my head around that, like how the interaction between the Moroi and the Dampiers.
The Dampiers are not. Yeah. Vampire.
Yeah, but they're like the protectors because right. They need the Moroi to survive. And so there's like this whole like social structure that I'm learning about in Vampire Academy, which is pretty cool. I haven't seen that in other books.
Yeah, I guess, and I'd read this somewhere else that Rochelle said that she found an old Romanian, you know, story where they had a hierarchy like this. The Strogoi, mm-hmm. the really evil, you want to stay away from them, you know, powerful, like really dead vampires, the Moroi who are half, and then the Dampier. She read about this kind of folklore, and then pretty much that's where her story originated from.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, like in Twilight, you get just like, you know, the colons, which we know, like the vegetarian vampires versus the meat, the blood drinking vampires. And then the only difference between the others is, you know, their origin, like the Asian vampires or whatever.
Yeah, well, Rochelle's vampires can't really go out in the sunlight. That bothers them. Even the half vampires, they have an issue with the sun. Whereas, you know, in Stephanie Meyer's, they just sparkle.
Yeah. So I love seeing the different dynamics between all the stories.
She says that Rochelle says that even though it's far down the road, the ending of the third book, which I'm on, Shadow Kiss, the big battle and its aftermath, I would love to see. Mostly because when I wrote that, I envisioned it very cinematically in my head. Don't give away anything. Actually, I think I know what happens, but.
No, but it's interesting because I guess when I was reading it, I didn't think of it that way. So
oh, really?
Now I feel like I need to kind of reread just the end to see what she's, what her vision was.
Okay.
Cinematically, you know? So when you get there, let me know what you thought of
the end part.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you going to be sad when you read the sixth book? You think like, ah, it's over? Or
I think I might try the Bloodlines series when that comes out. I am not 100% sure if, I don't know, by book five, I was a little annoyed with Rose.
Oh, okay.
There was a little bit of a high school kind of like that, that kind of like she's trying to become an adult like too quickly, but it's like, come on. You know, you need to mature and experience, you know, don't react so quickly to things. So that bothered me a little bit. But in the end, she still kicked ass, you know, kind of thing.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to book six, but I probably won't be as sad compared to like waiting for Charlene Harris's the Sookie Stackhouse series.
OK.
Yeah. So we'll see.
OK.
Even though book 10 is a little slow right now.
Oh, I'm telling you, it took me forever to read that one. With Stephanie and Lynn, any actress out there you guys think could play Rose in the movies?
And Rose, I'm looking at the book covers now, and I think Rose is the one with the darker hair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
She emerges as the main character. So.
Let me see. There's this one girl I have in my head. Let me see.
You know, I don't know why, sorry to jump in, but I was watching Vampire Diaries, and we're going to recap shortly, but I don't know why I kept picturing Caroline.
Really?
Just that moment, like, while I was watching it again, I was like, ooh, actually, I can see Caroline kind of kick ass in an action vampire role, and then I was thinking that Vampire Academy. But then she's a blonde, and I don't know if she can play Lisa, just because I feel like she's tougher.
She's already a
now.
Princess, you know?
Yeah. So I wonder, maybe she'll dye her hair, and maybe she could be the Rose. I don't
know. Yeah. For Rose, I had this actress in my head. I had to look up her name because I haven't really seen her new movie, Easy A. But I was thinking about Emma Stone.
Oh.
She's got, like, that dark hair.
Oh, my gosh. I think I thought of her, like, months ago.
Oh, Lynn, see, here we go.
Oh, my God, we're totally, like, on the same page.
Yeah. So, yeah, if they ever have a movie, I would definitely love to see Emma Stone. I mean, just visually, I mean, she looks good. I don't really know about, you know, her acting chops or anything, but she has that look.
I think okay, I see that. I see that.
Oh, yeah, and she's funny, too, and Rose has a sense of humor. And yeah, there's some comical parts too. Oh my gosh, I would totally think of her when I was first reading it.
Cool. Yeah, and I don't think I know Lissa well enough because I think they focus more on Rose in the first book. At least as far as I've gone so far.
Yeah,
but
you'll get to know her a little more. A lot more actually. I don't know. I don't know who would play her either. So, if you guys have any ideas who you think should play these characters in the Vampire Academy, let us know. Go ahead and email us. Okay, really quickly, we talked a couple weeks ago about the Buffy remake that Warner Brothers is going to go ahead with without Joss Whedon and company. And there were some rumors that Heather Morris from Glee would be in the movie. I don't know if they were thinking about her as Buffy or not, but all of those rumors are being squashed right now. If you watch Glee, you know Heather Morris plays Brittany, the
love,
kind of dim-witted cheerleader, but she's probably one of the most. She's got some of the best lines on that show. So
yeah. I'm not sure. I heard that this chick, Heather Morris, was brought on as a dancer for Glee, not an actress, and so
exactly.
That's why her role is just so monotonous and easy. But yeah, she's fantastic dancer and like totally humorous, but not sure how her acting is outside of Glee.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would totally agree with that. So rumors, and there's no official announcements regarding the casting for Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I don't know if we're going to call it a reboot or what, but whatever that thing is, it's going to come out next year or whenever. Nothing. That's just a rumor.
How weird. You know, honestly, I can't see anybody else playing her except for Sarah and the chick that played her in the first movie.
Oh, yeah. I think the chick who played her, I mean, I think she might be too old for the...
She could be the mom, right?
You know how that always happens? They play like the young ingenue and then they're still in the universe of whatever that series is, but they play the mom or something.
They do that all the time on Smallville.
Oh, they totally do. Exactly. Totally. Yeah. Terry Hatcher is like Lois Lane's mom and she played Lois Lane 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So nice. It's just hilarious, but... FYI, if you're really into vampire lore, I didn't realize that this wasn't on Google Maps, but now you could view Dracula's castle on Street View.
Awesome.
The Dracula's Braun castle. There's many views.
That is so cool.
So, if you're curious, you could check it out on Google Maps.
The thing is huge.
No, it's
Yeah.
They treat it like a real industry out there. I mean, it's like vampire crazy, like Dracula crazy. You buy t-shirts. I don't know.
We should take a trip.
Yep. Romania. Just saying. European trip to Romania. Okay, let's go ahead and move on to Twilight news. Now, you guys know Rift Tracks, right? You guys know what Rift Tracks is?
No.
Who said no? Somebody say no?
Me. Yeah, what is that?
Oh, it's when they, it's kind of like a Mystery Science Theater where they see and then they comment as it, as it.
Oh my God.
Okay,
I love the old school MST.
Well, Rift Tracks has made commentary for both Twilight and New Moon, and the Eclipse commentary is out and available now as well. We have a link, and then you have to go to another link that gets you to Rift Tracks, and then you could purchase it if you so want. $3.99. And then I guess I didn't really read this whole story, but I just saw the title Breaking Dawn set visit sold for $80,000.
Wow.
Oh yeah. This was interesting.
That's like a down payment for a house.
Yeah. Someone must really want to meet the actors or see, you know, the set and what they do. And
go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I thought the comments were more interesting than the actual posting itself.
Really?
Because there were some banters going on. Like, you know, they were talking about this was for charity. How come there's some rich people? Money's going to charity. I'm just saying there's some rich people. There's some people are too rich. And it's like, wow, there's some back and forth.
This money went to Stand Up to Cancer. And then there was a second auction, including a meet and greet with Robert Pattinson. So the whole total was $80K for the Go campaign. So lucky ducks, whoever that was. But I don't know. I guess money buys you some things. So
I think
there you go.
I think it's like us, if we can like pull in some money, if we really want to go, you know, we can do that as well. And I'm sure it's a nice attraction for the charities too, you know, who work with the production probably.
Yeah. Okay. In True Blood news, I didn't really find much, although, you know, like we mentioned last week, they're back into production, but Michael McMillan, who is Reverend Steve, is going to co-write a True Blood comic book. I guess he's going to work with IDW Publishing and HBO. And, you know, he's written a comic book already called Lucid. And I guess they're going to, you know, he's part of the family. So why not put his talents to work? And he's going to do one of the True Blood comics.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I'm excited to see what he does since he has a little bit of experience in it.
Yeah. And I'm just looking in this link that we have from MTV. It's like they've got Bill front and center, and then we got Alcee at the back.
Ooh.
That's a nice looking L seat there. And then we get a little wolf. And then I think, what is this, Tara? With like a half of her body or a third of her body? I don't know.
Looks like it with her short hair.
It's not Sookie.
Yeah, it's dark hair. So.
Yeah, it's definitely Tara.
Yeah.
Okay.
So congrats to Michael McMillan.
Yeah, quick note. I posted this on our Facebook page, but in case anybody is out there needing something new to do over the holiday with True Blood and all of our vampire shows being on hiatus, between December 27th and the 30th, they're having a season 3 marathon on HBO.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
So you can totally catch up and just watch the entire thing over again. And yeah, it sounds amazing.
Cool. Good find. Yeah, see, we'll be posting things like this that we may not necessarily post on Twitter, you know, or on the blog. So, you know, watch out for that. Give you more of a reason to go on our Facebook page. And then before we get into the recap of the Vampire Diaries, there's no new episode till January 27th. I believe I got that.
No.
That's a long ass time.
I'm crying.
That's really long. I mean, God, what's
longer
gonna happen
than last year?
You know what? I think it was that long last year.
Oh, it was? Oh, I don't know why. I thought it was like mid January last year versus like end of January.
Maybe it was.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I don't really remember.
It's on my calendar.
January 27th. So this, it's going to be a while.
Yeah. But yeah. Did you guys watch the Jimmy Kimmel show? Ian Somerhalder was on it.
No, please tell us more.
Oh, I was gonna just mention, you know, if you're not doing anything between now and January 27th, you can take a trip to Sun Valley, Idaho. Apparently, he co-owns a pizza parlor called McLean's Pizzeria. It's near Sun Valley. So I was like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. So and he actually makes pizza. So part of the thing that he and Jimmy Kimmel talked about, I think he made a pie and brought it to the show. And they were eating it on the show. So it was really cute. And then he was so cute also. He blurted out where he lives in L.A., but then they bleeped it out for the airing. So if someone was at the show, where he lives in L.A. But
oh god, check Twitter.
Oh, that's true. Yes. Oh my god, I forgot to do that.
Well, did they bleep it for the East Coast, or did it just, you know, is it just the West Coast that got bleeped?
Is that live? Because I feel like it's
it is kind of
like live to tape.
You're right. David Letterman is live to tape. That's right.
Yeah. So I think they shoot it and then they just, you know, put it together later on. For the same day airing, probably.
You're right.
But anyway, he owns a pizza parlor. So if anyone's in Sun Valley, Idaho, check it out and let us know. McLean's Pizzeria.
I wonder if his photo's somewhere owned by Ian Somerhalder.
Yeah, it's his.
All right. Good to know.
Brother-in-law. Yeah, no problem.
I'm going to have to watch that interview on Hulu or something. Thank you.
Yeah, watch it. It was good.
Okay, well, with no further ado, let's go ahead and get into our recap of The Vampire Diaries Season 2, Episode 11, By the Light of the Moon. Dude, a lot happened to wrap us up for the first half of the season. I guess the biggest thing to start off is that Elena is stuck in her house. Jeremy, Bonnie, Damon, everybody has decided to keep her in this house because she's got her little suicidal tendencies. And here's a little bit of Damon kind of making fun of Elena and also finding out a bit of new information.
Hold on a second. Tonight's a full moon.
Yeah, but you're too absorbed with all your suicidal tendencies to notice.
What?
Sheriff Forbes has officially declared Mason Lockwood a missing person.
What?
Why?
Some girl from Florida showed up on the Lockwood's doorstep looking for Mason.
What girl?
I don't know.
But she sure got everyone in a tizzy.
That's not good.
Where are you?
I'm at the grill.
I'm on my way.
Change of plans.
You babysit.
Hey, you know, you should get out. Enjoy the sun.
Oh, wait. You can't.
Oh, that Damon. That Damon. Okay, first of all, what did everybody think about this episode?
I thought it was good. I was pretty excited the whole time.
It was fast-paced.
Yeah, I didn't get bored at all.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Are you saying you have in other episodes, Stephanie? You would never get bored with a vampire.
Hey, you're the one who didn't pay attention last week.
I didn't. I'm the first to admit I did get a little bored with last week. But
I was actually a little bored with this one.
What?
Really?
Yeah, this one didn't.
Oh my god!
I didn't like
this
one.
Okay? Are you feeling okay? Maybe you're sick.
I don't know. I mean, it wasn't bad, but I definitely wasn't like, oh my god! It got more exciting.
Dude, we had a transformation happening.
Well, I was gonna say it got more exciting at the end. Yeah. But, yeah. But there was no. Yeah, there was no big. I guess there was no big reveal. I felt of any new information. So.
What?
Well, we already knew that.
Can't believe it.
What?
Oh, dude. Okay. The very last soundbite is a big reveal, but we won't get to that in a little while. Lynn, did you liked it? You enjoyed it, right?
Yes, I enjoyed it. It was really good. The storyline moved along really nicely for me. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to the next one. I think they tease next half really well, mm-hmm. And I don't know. I didn't I don't know. It was really good. I didn't have to guess. There wasn't any major shockers. Like I think it's because the flow was so good that I just paid attention to the story that they're telling me.
Yeah.
It was good.
Oh, I was the only one shocked at something, but okay. Okay. Well, lots of things were happening. You know, Lena's trapped in the house. They don't want her doing anything. Caroline, in the meantime, is with Tyler, and it's the full moon. So, you know, he's watched that video of Mason over and over again. He needs Wolf's Mane. He knows how to chain himself up. And Caroline is nice enough to stay with him and watch him. Okay. Did anybody want to drink the entire episode? Because Caroline was in danger at some point, right?
I just thought,
why are you still there? He told you to leave. He's about to transform, and she's just sitting there. She's very bravely, I have to say. When all is said and done, Caroline was very brave, and she stood by her friend. But man, the whole time I'm like, dude, he could bite you, and it'd be over. You know?
What's stupid is that she knows that his bite is fatal, but he doesn't.
He doesn't know. That's right.
And so I'm like, dude, you just run. And she ran at one point because he started – when he turned into his wolf form, he almost got out of the little
He freaked her out.
Yeah, but she should have kept running if
I know.
She knew it was good for her and didn't. And then she came back.
Oh, I mean, part of me is like, okay, Caroline, you're a really great friend. And then part of me is like, what are you doing, stupid girl? You know?
Yeah, but I think they trusted the chains, you know?
Did she? Okay.
The chain is broken before she left.
Right. But so this is my question. I wonder if he's stronger, maybe with each generation of wolves, you know, maybe he's a stronger one. Cause that's kind of why I was like, wow. Cause they kind of talked about Mason, you know, tied down really, really strong and like bolts, they never like broke or whatever. But then Tyler's did. So I thought maybe, and he didn't even fully transform.
Right.
So I thought maybe it's a different, I don't know, that's my guess.
Okay.
And they even quantified it, too. They said it was 5,000 pounds of weight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Huh, I hadn't thought about that. That's a good point. Strong, I would think,
I'm not sure.
That was his first transformation, and all of a sudden, he's, like, strong and fast, and I don't know.
He just didn't drink enough of the
Wolfsbane.
He didn't drink at all. But I was pretty impressed with Tyler's performance in this.
Oh, same here.
Me too, and I was really glad that this was, like, the first time that I was very, very impressed with him in general, because it wasn't like a throwaway. This is a really important part of his storyline. And I just felt like other times, you know, remember that episode where the girl died and all of a sudden he's going to be able. It just, that was like a throwaway because there was so many other really good things. Mm-hmm. This time I thought it was different. Like, you know, I felt he was important to this whole story for the first time.
Yeah. And I was really impressed with him too. And Caroline. I mean, I didn't think she was going to be so brave and courageous around him, but there's such a strong relationship bonding between them two. And she stayed for that entire thing. Like, I don't think I could do that.
I know. I was thinking the whole time, maybe that's me. Maybe, yeah, like I couldn't.
Maybe that's, I know we talked about it last week. Maybe that is the start of the love triangle, where maybe her support is friendship based.
Dun, dun, dun.
But he is taking it more as like, wow, she really cares about me, or, you know.
Yeah.
So
it's possible. It's possible.
Possible.
Okay. And then another side story, Bonnie decides to take the Moonstone and she wants to destroy it. So she asks for help from Luca. And, you know, they're playing a little dancing around with something. She's got a little shine in her eyes, you know, with him as well.
Definitely being flirty with each other.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. Is it because she feels kindred to him? Because I do think she still has something. She feels something for Jeremy.
Yeah, I think it's just the fact that she has someone who's like her. I mean, she wanted her cousin to stay so badly, and just because she has so many questions. And it turns out that Luca, he has his dad has a whole library of what do they call the books?
Grimoires.
Yeah, the grimoires. And so, you know, I think that she's just clinging to Luca because you know, he shares this power that she does. And,
yeah.
And we see this scene on the roof where Luca and Bonnie are having that spell, that romantic spell to break the moonstone.
I know all the candles.
You know, the super emo song in the background and the sparks flying around them. And and so that there's that. And I was really surprised what, you know, Luca was really instructed to do. Like, he actually ended up going home and the dad was like, did you fall for it? And I don't know. What did you guys think about that scene?
That didn't surprise me so much because I was like, there's no way that stone... there's no way that stone is gone from the storyline, you know, that easily. That's why I was like, during the whole scene, I was like, really? It just burst into a little fireworks display and that's it. It's gone. I was like, I don't think so. So then when that happened at the end, I was like, okay. All right.
But didn't he look, is it just me or did he feel and deliver that line in a way where he was a little reluctant that he had to do any of that?
Yes, I did feel that.
He does like this friendship that's beginning between the two of them.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like he's got this real smile whenever he's with Bonnie, and he just looked like he hated his dad when he went back there.
Yeah, so I think there's some redeeming qualities with Luca. I think it's, you know, obviously they're being pushed by someone we'll talk about in a little while. Elijah. And so I just like knowing that there is a little bit of a redeeming quality there with Luca, that he's not just doing this completely out of malice, you know? So in the meantime, Stefan is still stuck in the tomb with Catherine. And thank God, that preview we talked about last week was a dream.
I was so worried.
And yeah, I was so worried too. I fell for it. Damn that preview. Damn it. He's not technically cheating on Elena, but why would he do that with Catherine? Okay, so Catherine, she can get into his head. She's a strong
woman. Is that only because he was the maker?
I think it has to do with the maker kind of thing. I mean, like, they don't really say maker in this whole.
I don't think so, because it's like they can have compulsion on other vampires if they're really strong, right?
Stronger vampires.
What's his face like had to stake himself because Elijah made him do it. And he's like, I didn't know you could do that. And he's like, I'm a strong vampire.
See, Catherine can get into Stefan's head, but Stefan cannot get into Catherine's head. It's the stronger, older vampire with more powers.
I think that's
that makes sense.
Oh, but you don't have to be the maker as long as you're older and stronger.
Yeah, right. That's true.
Because remember, Elijah compelled Catherine as well. So.
Oh right.
Yeah. So they're stuck in there and. You know, we'll talk about what happens in a minute. Okay, now in the soundbite we heard earlier, you know, we've got Alaric on the phone talking to Damon. Okay, there's this woman from Florida who's looking for Mason, and now all of a sudden there's an investigation. Boom, and then Damon's like, "Okay, I'll be there in a minute," and they decide to kind of, you know, find out who she is, and if she's a wolf, put the wolf's mane in the drink, and. That doesn't really work out too well. I mean, Damon just, there's something about him that he just can't stop making enemies. He just doesn't execute it.
He's talented at that.
Yeah, he's very talented at making enemies. So let's hear this new...
think about it. I think he just does it.
Yeah. You're right. Well, let's see how this new enemy is made.
Clever, don't you?
What do you want with Mason Lockwood?
He's my friend.
Well, I'm sorry to inform you that you probably won't find him.
And why not?
You should leave town.
Are you threatening me? Mm. On a full moon, how stupid are you?
Damon, how about that second round?
I think we're done, Rick. You think I'm afraid of you?
No, I don't. That's your vampire arrogance. You should be. I sniffed you out the moment you entered this bar, along with your pathetic wolf's bane. You haven't had this a long time. And any other night of the month, the situation would be reversed. But tonight, it's not the night to pick a fight with me. You've been marked.
Okay. okay, I know we don't really know her, but I like that she's like kick ass and like, okay, you've been marked tonight.
You've been marked. Yeah. She totally knows how to walk out with a scene, right?
Oh, yes.
Your pathetic little wolf's mane. I sniffed you out. I love that. I love that.
We know her name is Jules.
Her name is Jules.
Yeah, Jules from Florida.
Yeah, when at the beginning of the episode, Tyler was still trying to call Mason, doesn't know what's happened. You know what? That's going to cause a rift, I bet, with him and Caroline, because she knows what's happened to Mason. So I'm sure Tyler's going to find out. I thought about that when I watched the episode the second time. I'm like, wait, that's going to cause a problem.
But then they can just all blame it on Damon.
They could. You could really blame everything. It was his fault.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, Mason never wanted to make enemies with the Salvatore brothers, but he, you know, kind of forced him in that corner. Okay, so Tyler was trying to call Mason, and we see the answering machine, and she's in this house, wherever, I don't know if they're roommates or whatever.
I didn't understand that. Like, I didn't understand how this Jules had Mason's voicemail. Like, I didn't know if they were living together.
Or I think they're living together, or she's his roommate. You know what I mean? Like, something. You know, maybe they had a relationship. I don't know. But she's a wolf. So I'm sure he was a part of, I don't know, he's got to be a part of some kind of pack, don't you think?
Well, yeah, that's what I was thinking when she pulled out of the Lockwoods mansion and she placed a phone call. And she said, you know, Mason's not here or something, like Mason was lying about another wolf. So there must be some kind of pack leader or someone that, because it sounds like Mason knows this guy, because if Mason had talked to them and they think that he was lying, so then they must have all been kind of in the same, I don't know, location or something together.
That's true. That's true. That's what I think. They're all in Florida together. There's like a little pack or something. They all know each other. So that's really interesting, because she wasn't kidding when she says you've been marked. Rose comes to play, and she's back at the Salvatore mansion talking to Damon. And
in a robe.
Right. And boom. This, you know, wolf crashes in, and it could have been her. It could have been one of her, you know, minions. Who knows? I don't know. And she takes a little bite out of Rose. And before, you know, I'm thinking she's going to drop dead, you know, any minute. But then you see that it heals. The bite heals immediately. And we think all is okay. Oh, my God. Not really.
Did you think maybe it was because the spell was lifted from the moonstone?
Sure, it could just be that's the way it works,
right?
You're right, that could have thought that.
I think the placement of the scenes was pretty clever by the producers.
Yeah, that's true. But then, you know, there was part of me that was like, well, Tyler did transform, even if it was just for a little while, so that curse wasn't completely, so it wasn't really thrown off only because of that.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, we didn't really see his transformation. Like, they, you know, we kind of stopped. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of, I mean, he transformed, even if it was partially. So that's why I never kind of thought that. But it's true.
Mm-hmm.
I can see some people kind of thinking that might happen.
Yeah. I mean, I thinking.
I thought that was exactly what was going on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I thought that maybe we just didn't know exactly how, because it's just been a myth so far, a legend of the bite is fatal to vampires. We haven't seen it in action. So I was like, well, maybe this is how it works. Like, the vampire thinks they're okay, and then they drop dead, you know, 12 hours later or something. So.
Well, and they then. What'd you think?
No, we're going to get to it. Never mind. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. But then, you know, Damon and Rose are still having this nice evening in her robe. And
he's like tiptoeing up her leg because they're trying to be friends with benefits.
Yeah,
that's right. Special friends.
Special friends. And then we notice that her shoulder is back to being
like decaying or something.
Yeah,
big old rash. So, yeah. Something to be said about that wolf bite. I want to go back. Let's go back. Let's go back to the woman that really matters in this episode. Let's go back to Elena, because you know what? She's back. And I'm very excited, because I was very annoyed with Elena last week and kind of annoyed with her at the beginning. Okay. Mm-hmm. None of you jumped when Jenna closed that little cabinet and Elijah was standing there in the house.
I did.
I totally was shocked. First of all,
I didn't jump, but I was shocked.
That to me was the shocker in the episode. Like, what is he doing there? And then I thought, damn it, why don't they just tell Jenna what the hell is going on, and they wouldn't be in these situations.
Jenna doesn't even know that vampires exist.
She doesn't. That's why I'm like, she needs to be in the know, because she's just letting in every vampire left.
She lets in everybody. She's way too friendly, man.
She's kind of a, what's the word I'm looking for? She's a...
doofus? Or...
No. I almost had it. What's the word?
I don't know.
Aloof?
No.
Clueless?
Like, you know, when...
Give an example.
I know, I can't. When
she's
someone
too in
is...
love right now.
What?
Oblivious?
She's too in love. Oh, oblivious.
No, you know when she's more of a... she's more dangerous not knowing... What's the word?
Oh.
She's more dangerous to the group not knowing...
Liability?
Yeah, she's a liability. I was going to say that. For some reason, I didn't think that was it. Anyway, she's a liability to everybody, because
she's constantly
doing the wrong thing.
They do need to bring her in. You're right.
And, you know, getting compelled. And, like, if she doesn't know anything. If she did, she wouldn't have invited Elijah in, I'm pretty sure.
Right, right.
And so all of a sudden, he's in the house, and I'm like, oh, my God. But that was an awesome scene with her and Elena. With him and Elena in the bedroom. And let's just hear, because there's a lot of stuff to me that gets revealed.
Yeah.
Klaus is the most feared and hated of the originals, but those that fear him are desperate for his approval. Word gets out that the doppelganger exists, there'll be a line of vampires eager to take you to him, and I can't have that.
Isn't that exactly what you're trying to do?
Let's just say that my goal is not to break the curse.
So what is your goal?
Klaus's obsessions have made him paranoid. He's a recluse. He trusts only those in his immediate circle.
Like you?
Not anymore.
You don't know where he is, do you? So you're trying to use me. Let's draw him out.
Well, to do that, I need you to stay put and stop trying to get yourself killed.
How do I know you're telling the truth?
Well, if I wasn't being truthful, all your family would be dead, and I'd be taking you to Klaus right now. Instead, I'm here, and I'm prepared to offer you a deal.
What kind of a deal?
Do nothing. Do nothing, live your life, stop fighting. And then, when the time is right, you and I shall draw Klaus out together, and I shall make certain that your friends remain unharmed.
And then what?
Then I kill him.
Just like that?
Just like that. I'm a man of my word, Elena. I make a deal, I keep a deal.
How are you going to be able to keep everybody safe?
You know, I notice you have a friend. Bonnie, is it? She seems to possess the gift of magic. I have friends with similar gifts.
You know what, Jess?
And together we can protect everybody that matters to you. So do we have a deal?
I need you to do one more thing for me.
You're negotiating?
Okay. Oh. So... okay, so we learned a lot. We learned that Elijah is no longer close to Klaus. We learn that he wants to kill Klaus and he's going to use Elena. And I like that. So he's a man of his word. He says, do we believe Elijah that he won't hurt Elena as long as she stays within the parameters of this deal? Do we believe him?
I kind of do, yeah. I think also last episode, when we saw that he killed the two informants or the messengers,
uh-huh,
and that he didn't go after Damon and Elena, I think that kind of gave us a clue that he had his own plan.
Right.
And then this episode reveals what that plan
it's
was.
Filling it in. Yeah.
Yeah, and it wasn't as dangerous as we at first, when he was first introduced.
You know, I just remembered that he made a deal with Rose and kept her alive, could have killed her.
Right.
And killed her guy. So, so maybe he really is a man of his word. I don't know. I like this whole play because Elena was strong again and she was just like, okay, she's sniffing him out. I'm like, you don't know where he is, do you? And I was waiting for her because I was like, okay, you're not just going to shake his hand and just do it. And lo and behold, she drove a hard bargain.
Yes.
But definitely asked to get Stefan out of that tomb, and it worked. So that was a good scene, too, with Elijah going down to the tomb and telling Stefan that he could move, he could leave, and then completely going running back right before Catherine tried to get out and saying, "You are not allowed to leave yet," and compelling her.
I love how defeated Catherine looked. She was so pouty.
Yeah.
She was like, "Stefan, get me out."
She did.
Yeah, she was, you said, Lynn, she was frightened. And that was like one of the first times we've actually seen her.
Yeah, she was so scared of Elijah's like presence and then trying to kind of like, ask Stefan to save her. And this whole time, like in the past, she was totally like lying and all about herself. I mean, Stefan wasn't going to help her, you know?
Oh, yeah.
She exited the cave, the tomb. So exactly. I was really glad.
I almost felt bad for her, but not so
almost.
Much.
Almost. Just a little bit. Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah, a little bit. Almost.
No, I didn't. I was very happy. I was just excited that Stefan and Elena were kind of back together again. So.
Oh yeah, they're
that was
before
sweet.
They started making out. I was like, wait a minute, they're not
cute.
Together yet.
That's okay. It really
cares.
That was very sweet.
That was sweet. So, yeah, I guess maybe next half of the season we'll meet Klaus.
Yeah.
Is that the whole
most likely.
Deal?
Well, the other thing I thought that was really useful was Catherine mentioning she gave a tip on how to find Klaus. Remember how Stefan was like, if you really love me, you would tell me how to, like, I can't remember the verbiage.
Just
that
you would help me out in some way. Yeah, and then she offers that up.
Right. So we'll probably see Isabel at some point.
That's right.
And what I just remembered was, Isabel is in Florida, I think, or somewhere in the South.
Is she?
I don't know why. I don't remember. We were kind of like talking about the Wolf, Mason and Jules, how they were in Florida. I don't know why. Oh. I was like, oh, wait, did Isabel, like in a previous episode, say that she's going down to Florida? Because she left.
I don't recall.
Yeah,
I don't remember
either.
I've
forgotten about Isabel, like about her character.
I might have to look it up during this hiatus. So
Does her assistant still exist? That chick that really liked Alaric?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think so.
So maybe she'll come
back. She's still out there, yeah.
Yeah, so they could bring her back if not Isabel. Maybe both of them. I don't know.
That's right, because they're big on research. Oh, and also Alaric. I'd like to see him more useful, I guess.
Yeah.
Right now,
back in his hunting mode.
Yeah, he's just Rick, and it's very annoying. Like, whoever, I can't remember who wrote to us and said, isn't anybody annoyed that they just call him Rick? And yeah, I'm like, yeah, actually, it's kind of like derogatory to me whenever they call him Rick, because he's a Larrick. When he's useful, like you say, Lynn, he's a Larrick, but when he's just whatever, he's Rick. So...
been Rick for the last couple of episodes.
I completely agree with that. You're right. He needs a purpose. So let's give him something, because he just kind of like happens to be at the right place at the right time and calls up and then tries to help out and then doesn't really do anything but get caught with his like shorts on as he's like having, you know, a night fling with Jenna, who doesn't know anything and is ruining this whole thing because she doesn't know anything. So I'm tired of her not knowing anything. And dude, Matt better find out soon, because he's just he's trying to get back with Carol. Looks like in that preview, going to try and get back with Caroline.
I love the previews, by the way.
The preview was
good.
I didn't
see the preview this year.
Oh,
this
man. We're going to really have to talk about it at some point. You got to go watch it.
Well, we can tell her. I mean, you know, Caroline is like, I wish everybody would stop kissing me.
Yeah, because then Tyler actually does end up kissing her and at her doorstep. And
Matt's just kissing her. And
so there's the love triangle that we
can get. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, but then I think the bulk of the preview is more about Rose and the bite. Yeah, it's super interesting.
Yeah, do we think she's gonna make it? Is she gonna make it?
Or
is she gonna be a rough?
Good question.
She's gonna die.
Who says Rose makes it? Who says that she gets cured? That Damon actually finds a way. Now he has to go groveling back to Jules. How do I cure the wolf's bite? It's like, true. Dude,
I don't know. I think she's gonna die.
You think she's gonna die?
Yeah. I think there's going to be a casualty somewhere, and I think she might be it because she's not really all that integral to the story anymore.
Right.
Maybe she becomes wolf. Maybe the bite. You know how she was
Vampire wolf.
Well, that happens in the Sookie Stackhouse book. So
many possibilities.
I'm just going to do. I'm going to take the other side just because no one else has. I'm just going to say she's going to survive and play a part, at least for a couple episodes.
Well, there's if she did live, then the relationship with Damon, that could be furthered if they, you know, would have any kind of relationship. But
remember, she says to Elena, it's okay that you love them both in the preview.
But that was me thinking that, I thought that Stefan was going to be stuck in a tomb longer. I didn't expect that. And I thought that was Delana's chance. And
not so much.
Now I feel like that's less confident that we're going to see that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I really do think that they're going to delay that. Or maybe even that'll be the cliffhanger for next year. I don't know.
Maybe.
Because you got to have something for next year. Mm-hmm. So, good episode. And again, we won't see anything until January 27th. Crazy.
So long.
All right. Well, we have a couple of posts. And Stephanie, you wanted to talk about one of our posts on our website, right?
Oh, I did. In our last episode, let me just bring it up real quick.
Yeah, we were talking about the finale to Walking Dead.
Yeah, so Walking Dead has become quite a favorite of ours. And we heard the rumor that their entire staff got laid off, their writing staff got laid off after the series was done. And we were just like, oh, hell no, because it was just so good. And anyway, one of our viewers, DJ, wrote in saying that EW has confirmed that the writers were not indeed fired despite the rumors. And so there's a link to an article on EW.com that, you know, just says that ain't true. So that's the good news.
Good.
The bad news is that when we get a second season, it probably won't be until October of next year, which is so far away.
It's a really long time. I mean, do you think people are going to forget? I mean, obviously, this show was hot. I mean, it's like one of the most watched AMC, you know, series, even above Mad Men and, you know, all the others. So
it's got to come back.
Well, I mean, it's definitely coming back. But do you think people will still be hot for it a year from now?
That's
it's
a good question.
Almost a year from now.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, you know, that's kind of, you know, True Blood is, well, let's see. True Blood ended in September and then it's going to be back in June. It's almost a year. It's kind of the same.
I'm thinking that there's a longer delay, and this is just speculation, is that since they didn't anticipate the success of the first season, they probably didn't plan for shooting and producing like the entire next season till later.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why we have to wait longer.
I bet they're going to have a very big presence at Comic-Con. I'm sure that panel, people are going to have to line up for that panel. Lynn, I don't know if I can do it.
You can do it.
Dude. I'll do it.
Oh, man. You guys have not, you and Shannon have not appreciated the line at Comic-Con in the heat.
I appreciate your efforts, Eileen.
Oh, God. You know what? If this is back to the issue I see is that this is going to be back to back with something huge like True Blood or something. And then that line is going to be like twice as long and people line up at 7 a.m. to watch the 5 p.m. True Blood.
Wow.
Yes.
And they watch the whole day I will say that once you're in there, it's nice and, you know, cool and whatever, but you're stuck in that room and you don't see anything all day long. So I might have to pick and choose what day that would be, you know?
Have the one sit in the room day.
Yeah, and then, you know, maybe we split. If we all go, maybe we split days or maybe some of us go both days and some of us don't. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I can go. I can't do the line 2 days in a row like that.
No.
She was that third day, and I really wanted to see that, and I said, screw it, because I can't deal with being in line again, and I wanted to see the show floor, you know? So, but maybe, maybe.
Yeah, well, if more of us go this time, we can split up the duty, you know?
That's true, and also, maybe they'll be smarter about their programming and not stack everything so much on one day.
Man, we can hope.
Can only hope.
I hope so.
You still
I don't know. They're having so many hard times. They're having issues.
I know you still can't even register, so that's not a good sign.
I'm looking right now. It looks like it's open.
Oh, they finally opened it up?
Yeah. I don't wonder if I can send a message to. Well, it says registration open right on their homepage, and I've done a couple clicks through, and it looks like it says step one, fill out your order. Step two, print your tickets. And I'm not sure if that's it.
I checked yesterday, and it was still closed. That's pretty great.
Yeah, check it. Check it right now. See if I'm, you know, full of BS, because I've never gone to Comic-Con before, and I actually would really like to.
Well, Stephanie, I'm pretty sure you could register as press, so I wouldn't.
Oh, okay. I'll check it out. I'll ask Roger or something tomorrow.
I'm pretty sure you will be fine, but for those of you who want to...
it says registration for Comic-Con 2011 is temporary closed.
Oh, it's still that message.
Yeah, there it is on the website. Yeah. Where are you, Stephanie?
I don't know. Well, I mean...
Maybe on WonderCon. When you go to Comic-Con...
I'm seeing WonderCon.
Yeah, I think...
Okay.
The main page is WonderCon. And then you have to click...
Yeah, it says temporarily closed.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah,
but I would like to go back to WonderCon. Actually, I would like to go back there. Just because.
It's not till April, huh?
Yeah, it's just it's in our home turf, and it's
that
not
one's
as
much
crazy.
Mellower. Yeah.
Yeah, yes. It's very mellow. You could see Lou Ferrigno and you know whoever. It's kind of cool, you know, just kind of walking around. Oh, Shannon, you'll be here by now. Maybe we should all go to WonderCon together.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
That one's easy. That's just like you just go on a weekend day and. Do it
totally and just kind of walk around and
get
a free preview of something or whatever. Yeah, but
that one's right in San Francisco.
Yep.
Yeah, downtown.
Awesome.
We'll have to all go to that one. That one's easy. So that's good to know about The Walking Dead, and check out this article about the rumors and what really went down with season with the writers and whatnot on our website. Also, Em posted on our comment board. She said, I love how in the Vampire Diaries episode, this is for last week's episode, the password to Slater's computer was Kristen Stewart. Now, I did not see that.
Oh, I do remember that. One of the characters said something about it, like, oh, how predictable, or I can't remember.
Yeah, that's right.
It was pretty funny.
That's funny.
They always make references to Twilight. Lots of times. Like, there was the one carnival episode, and she was, Bonnie was talking about how all the Jacob t-shirts were sold out. What are they going to do? Or something. You know, they always have those little comments.
Little nods, yeah.
Yeah, little nods. Not necessarily bashing, but little nods, you know, to their fellow vampire, I don't know, universe mates or story mates. So I guess that's it for this episode, and I don't know what we're gonna do. We don't have Vampire Diaries for a long time. We're gonna have to talk offline to see when we'll do our next episode, but man, that's kind of crazy.
Are we gonna talk about Buffy?
Yes, please.
Yay, Buffy. Okay, Shannon, have you seen Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Sorry, you cut off.
Have you seen Buffy the Vampire Slayer? Are you all?
I took a summer and watched every single episode.
Okay, so you've seen it.
Woo-hoo.
Now, Stephanie, have you seen Buffy? Have you seen it all?
I have seen Buffy the TV series. I've watched the movie, but I can't say that I've watched every single episode.
Okay.
So I'm familiar, but not expert.
Okay.
Because we never finished talking about the end of season two, and I'm only three episodes into season three.
We should rewatch just the last episode of season two and then talk about that maybe.
Maybe that's what we should do.
Because that's yeah, such a big dramatic.
You know that episode with the freaking scaly guys?
Oh, that's horrible. Yeah.
There was a lot. Okay. Season three, even just three episodes. And I stopped because I didn't want to get too far ahead. And then I got into a bunch of other stuff that I'm watching. But is so much better.
Season three is great.
I love it.
Worlds apart from, oh my God, I really did not like, I will come out and say I did not like season one at all. I was very, and you know what? It's a product of the time. It's a product of, you know, the effects that they had and whatnot, but I did not like it. So, but I'm very, very excited for season three. So maybe we just go and talk about the season finale of season two.
Woo!
What do you guys?
Yes, yes, yes.
Sounds good. I'll watch it.
Would you watch it? It's on streaming.
Yeah, I'll watch it. I will definitely watch it.
And even, I swear to God, we'll catch you up.
I'll watch it.
If you have questions, we'll be like, oh, right, because that's blah, blah.
And who knows? Like, it's been so long that I might have already seen it. So.
Yeah, you might have seen it. Okay, so that's our assignment. We'll rewatch the season finale of season two for Buffy.
Oh, I'm excited.
Is that cool? Everybody?
Sounds good.
Just a minute to talk about. Oh my God, we're going to talk about Buffy.
Just FYI, is part one and part two.
We got to watch both, part one and part two.
Okay.
Because season finale. Are we good with that? Everybody cool?
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. We will be back.
I actually got kind of hooked on Buffy, so.
Okay. All right, everybody. There you go. We are going to finally talk. We're going to skip.
I'm so happy.
Those of you who wanted us to finish our recap of the entire season, it's not going to happen. We're just going to do the season finale for season two because, quite honestly, I'm ready to move on to season three. I'm over the early. Over it.
I don't even remember where we left off. We might have just...
I think we had like six or six.
Yeah, it was like two-thirds through or something like that.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't want to go over the swimming episode. And oh, there's so many episodes. Sorry. All right. Well, that's what we're going to do next week. We'll be back to talk Buffy for those of you who want to relive or who have been waiting for us to talk about that. So thanks very much for your patience. This is Bike Club Show, bikeclubshow.com, our website, our email address, bikeclubshow@gmail.com, Twitter @bikeclubshow, and check us out on Facebook. We're there. Facebook.com/bikeclubshow. All right. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.